chapter, and I want to read just one verse. Luke, the second chapter, verse number 12. Amen. The word reads, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I just want to talk from the subject, what's in a gift? What's in a gift? The baby Jesus is a gift to all humanity. It's a gift that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Nothing special about what he was wrapped in. Nothing special about what he was laid in. Everything seems ordinary at best. But yet, it was the most perfect wrapping ever wrapped and the best gift ever given. So what's in a gift? In this holiday season, we are out and about trying to find the perfect gift, trying to find that thing that makes us feel good about ourselves and will hopefully make someone feel good about themselves. We can't wait for Black Friday, looking for discounts and deals and sales. Matter of fact, we're so excited about Black Friday, we're up before the crack of dawn. Some folk never even go to sleep trying to hit midnight madness. And they have planned their attack. Some have stood outside in line in the cold just to be the first one in the store to grab some deals and get some gifts. We're excited when we find a gift that we're looking for. We're excited when we get the deal of the century. But that same zeal we seem to lose when it comes to Sunday morning. We don't care what time the doors open. We don't stand in the line until the door is unlocked. We're not rushing our way in to find the best seat or to get the best place where we can hear from God. As a matter of fact, we can come in whenever it's convenient for us to come in. So what makes the holidays so different? Why does the world have more of our time and attention and our planning than God's house? Than coming in to hear a word? Than coming in to get filled with the Holy Spirit? To have joy and understanding that when I walk through the door, there's something that's just waiting for me, that's merely just for me. Why is there such a difference? What's in a gift? All throughout the shopping season, we're now looking out for special gifts so that we can give our loved ones. Now, in a gift, there's three primary things that has to take place. Number one, there has to be a thought process. Wow. Who is the gift for? And when you go down through your mind and your list of who you're getting gifts for, you prioritize the importance of who's getting the gifts. And if you know something about them, because if the thought process is fully engaged, you know exactly what you want to give someone. You know what you're willing to pay for this gift. You know, because you know something about the person. If you truly engaged in getting this gift. Now, some folk give gifts and ain't thought 2 seconds about you. In other words, they just found something nice along the way that was nice and cheap, and I can rap and I can say Merry Christmas. And then I'll run that line by you. It's the thought that counts. And the giver or the receiver is looking at this gift and like, yeah, it sure was a whole lot of thought in this process. But the thought is very important when you understand who is the gift for.
All right.
Because if I know who I'm dealing with, then I know that whatever I give them should be something that they truly need.
Yes, sir.
Something that they've wanted for quite some time, but they themselves have been unable to get. But I want them to know that I truly love them and I care for them. And there was a lot of thought process going into this gift. What's in a gift? It starts with the gift giver. Because it's the gift giver that has a plan to go out and get the greatest gift to give the receiver. That person that means something in our lives. That person who we have watched throughout the whole year. We have watched how they have grown or how they have helped us and all the things they have done. So our whole thought process is getting exactly what they want, what they may need. The second process is the value. What is the value of the gift that's being given?
Right.
In other words, we give a lot of gifts that have no value. From the moment that you buy it, you wrap it, and you give it, its value is lost. It's the kind of gift that truthfully could be left on the shelf. It has no value to it other than the fact that it came from you. You want to add some significance, but when you look at it, it's like, why in the world would you give me this? So if your thought process is where it should be, then the value of what you're giving should be as equally as important as what? The thought process.
Right.
In other words, I'm going to give you something that I know you are going to need and want.
Wow.
Something that you're going to be able to use, not just for a day or for a week, but for a lifetime.
Yes,
I'm trying to give you the gift. Not just any old thing, not just something to say, look, I'm giving you something, so hopefully in return you'll give me something. You know how those people are, right?
All right.
Folks who give only to get.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no thought process in there. Well, I sure gave them something. How come they didn't give me nothing? We have a mentality of, if I give for you, then you must give to me. Well, if that's the case, do me a favor. Don't give me nothing. Because giving should not be predicated on what you receive back. Giving comes out of the gift or the love that's in your heart for the person that you're giving the gift to. That's why I said, number one, there must be a thought process. And number two, what's the value of what you're bringing in the gift? What's in the gift? Here we have baby Jesus. The thought process belongs to who? God the Father.
Yes,
now, here God is saying that all throughout mankind, they have just messed up. I've had them sacrificing animals, but to no avail. Every time I think they're going right, they go back the other way. Every time I think I finally got them in my corner, they turn on me. I need to send them something because I love them. I love them so much that I want to send them something of value. In other words, if I'm God and you are my thought process, I'm not going to send you something that you can't use. I'm not going to give you something that you don't need. I'm going to make sure whatever it is that I present to you is something that you will need, not just for today, but from every day thereafter. Yeah. What's in the gift? Jesus, the baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Yeah. In other words, wrapped in the same thing they wrapped dead bodies in. Not for a baby. Where's the soft blankets, the nice sheets, the things that make a baby feel comfortable? But the reality is that God knew that what baby Jesus was about to go through was not going to be comfortable. In other words, I'm going to give him what he's going to need to make it on a rough journey. See, if I start you in a mode where everything is light and feeling good, then you ain't going to know how to handle when the trouble really hits. So I'm going to wrap you in some swaddling clothes to let you know that your outcome does not look that good. Why in the world would I wrap somebody in death clothes and then left death was on or imminent in his sight? What's in a gift? We take our gift home and we wrap it. We make sure it's nice and pretty. It's got bows on it and signatures on it and little cards to and from. And we want to present it. And it looks marvelous when it's being presented. But what's the value inside of that gift? Yeah. See, some of the greatest gifts aren't wrapped pretty. They're not wrapped the way you want to see them wrapped. As a matter of fact, they might be wrapped in sackcloth and brushed in ashes. Will you still receive the gift the same way? No, you won't. As we get all uppity at that point. I can't believe she didn't put this in a little paper bag from the grocery store and put some tape around all this stuff. You know. What's the value of the gift that's being given? We make an assessment before we even receive the gift. We look at it and say it ain't wrapped the right way. It's not pretty enough. Can't be nothing important inside that because there was no thought process inside of what you're giving me. But the reality is you stop looking at the outside package. You start looking at the heart that's given the gift. There's more than meets the eye on the inside. Everything that's wrapped poorly don't mean it's a bad gift. So here we have him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, not even in a crib, not even under a tree. You know how the tree is. You decorate your tree, it's nice, garland and lights and bulbs, and then you put a nice little white blanket around it. You lay your gifts nice in a neat manner and order up under the tree. You want to give presentation. But presentation ain't always cracked up to be what it's supposed to be. Here the Savior of the world is being born and his presentation don't look that good. But yet God has a design. Because God has a thought process for his people first and foremost. Secondly, he has to give you a gift that has what? Value. Then he places it in a feeding trough. Not even in the inn. The Bible says that there was no room.
Yes, sir.
In the inn. How in the world can a place that God has created, called into existence, not have room for the Son of God? Unless it was by design. So while we're getting so caught up in the trees, and the gifts, and the wrappings, the question that needs to be asked is, what's in a gift? Are you more concerned about your giving the gift? The appearance of the gift? Are you more concerned about what they think about you as the gift giver? Are you more concerned about, as long as I do what I got to do, everything's going to be all right? I'm glad God doesn't think like us. I'm glad that he's not concerned about outward appearances. Because the one thing he did by bringing Jesus the way he brought him and by bringing him as low as he brought him, he allowed both mankind, the rich and the poor, to come and bow down before the baby Jesus. In other words, it wasn't a place where only one set of people could get to.
Okay.
See, when you're given a gift, the gift should be for who? All of mankind. Jesus came. The rich had to bow. The poor had to bow. But they all was able to get in because they was in a place where it was outside of the popular vote. The politically correct. Outside where only a real person would go if they really wanted to see who Jesus was.
All right.
Because see, if it was inside the inn, I don't know about y'all, but I might not have been able to get in. Might not have had the right clothes, might not have had the right conversation, might not have been the right color, might not have been able to talk the right kind of talk to get through that door.
Come on.
It may have been a prestigious place, all high society. Well, you need to know such and such to get up in here. You need to have some contacts to get up in here. But I just want to see the baby Jesus. Well, you aren't able to see the baby Jesus because it was not provided a means or a method for you to be able to get in to see him.
Yeah.
But how come only the rich folk can go up in there? How come only the... Well, that's how it was designed.
Yeah.
But God said, I don't give a gift so just that one person can have it.
Come on.
I give a gift that's accessible to all.
Yeah.
And so being outside of the inn, in other words, you don't have to be really caught up in what the world is thinking about you.
All right.
The only thing we need to be caught up in is what God thinks about
us.
So I just want to be a receiver of this gift.
Well,
the thought process says, who is the gift for? God said the gift is for mankind.
All right.
The value. What is the value of the gift being given? The value of this particular gift never stops giving.
Yes, sir.
In other words, if you receive this gift, it's not the kind that you just hold on to. It's the kind that you can go and tell somebody else about. It's the kind of gift that would allow you to keep giving. As a matter of fact, as long as you give it and somebody receives the gift the way you give it, they'll in turn turn around and give somebody else the same gift that you gave to them, because the gift that you gave to them just keeps on giving, because God knows who's the thought process and the value of the gift being given, because the value is more important than anything, because of value, I can extend my gift and never lose any value in the gift. There are sometimes folk give gifts and we rewrap gifts that we didn't want. And we give it to someone else. And if you didn't want the gift, the someone else you just re-gifted and wrapped it and sent it to, they don't want it either. But the gift that God gifts that was wrapped up in swaddling clothes is the kind that you can keep wrapping up in no matter what you want to wrap it up in, and you can keep giving the gift out. In a gift.
Yeah.
What's your thought process for why you do what you do?
Yeah.
What's the motivation for why you do what you do?
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about the gift. It's about the value of the gift that you're giving.
Yeah.
We're teaching our kids all the wrong stuff. I got this list of all these things, and the list tells me All these material things that the kids want, but the Bible tells me to store my treasures in a tree.
Yeah.
Store my treasures in my room.
Yeah.
It says store your treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
So in other words, the material stuff ain't going to make it there. Uh-huh. So then when God gives a gift, the gifts he give must not be a material gift.
Come on.
In other words, I don't mind you wrapping stuff. And I don't mind that you give gifts out throughout the holidays. But if you have never given the gift of salvation, then let me tell you, you ain't never gave a gift. If you ain't took your time to find out what that person really needs, because your thought process says, well, I think they need a G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. But if you really think about it, the thought process is, I don't believe they know who Jesus Christ is. So my first and foremost thought is, how can I get them a gift that will allow them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior?
Well,
because the kung fu grip, that'll pass away.
Well,
the nice BMW with the bow in the parking lot, that looks nice for a second.
Yeah.
But let a truck hit it.
Yeah.
The nice diamond ring shines for a minute. But you got to keep that thing shining.
Yeah.
And when you pass, that diamond ring going to be on somebody else's finger. There is a gift that we all can rewrap.
Well,
as a matter of fact, we don't just have to rewrap it once.
Come on.
We don't have to wait till December 25th to give it. See, a true gift you can give each and every day.
Yeah.
Every day I'm reminded how Jesus Christ died for me. Because the third part of giving of a gift is the rejoicing in the gift. How many of you have seen the receiver of your gift open up the gift and give nothing but great joy? I've seen them hop around and say, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. And they have rejoiced. And they're like, oh, daddy, I just love you. Mommy, man, you're the baddest mom and dad I ever seen.
Come on now.
Because when a true gift is given, how can you not rejoice?
Yeah.
The problem is that we're rejoicing over the wrong stuff. Because the gift that we're given don't have the value to last a lifetime. I can look at all the stuff that my sons was excited about, and just the other day, I sent them all to Goodwill.
All right.
That lets me know I ain't never buying no more of that stuff. Because the value does not last. But if I train up a child in the way they should go, the Bible tells you when they grow old, they won't depart. In other words, if you're going to be rapping something and you really want to rejoice, I'd rather rejoice about somebody saying that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was amazing grace that rescued me. I want to see the kind of rejoicing that lets people know that when I'm down and out, when I just find out my child has been shot, I can still got a Jesus to hold on. I know how to get on my knees and still pray and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Because the last time I checked, this perfect gift, this great gift that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, when he had a chance to be free, he told the angel, stay right where you are. Because I got to do some dying here. So, Father, not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. I'm so glad because it led him to the cross.
Yeah.
What's in a gift?
Yeah.
If the gift has no thought process, you're not giving the best gift. And if the thought process is in the gift, what you give will have value that will last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And if that lifetime of value causes someone to rejoice every day that they are above ground, to understand that all blessings come from above, the reason why Jesus could get up on the cross and not come down, even save a thief who was right next to him, who rightfully deserved to die, he wasn't finished there, though. He said, because I am the greatest gift of all times, there's some folks in the grave who ain't never even heard about me yet. So I got to go down there to set the captives free, because I just want to be the kind of gift that keeps on giving. In order for me to be the kind of gift that keeps on giving, early on Sunday morning, I need to get up with all power in my hand. The Bible says he had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. In other words, if you're going to give a gift this holiday season, give a gift that keeps on giving. Give a gift that's tied to the only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what's in a gift. The value of humanity, the value of eternal salvation, the value of knowing that no matter what the circumstances, I can make it through anything, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Give the gift that keeps giving, no matter what. Give it. In order to give the gift, you have to learn about the gift. You have to learn how to package the gift. You have to learn how to deliver the gift. And then let them, or let yourself, learn how to rejoice with the giver as well as the receiver, as you rejoice together, because it's a gift that will make the receiver rejoice, but you'll rejoice too, because you know the gift you gave was the gift of life. So therefore, the both of you can rejoice. The Bible even tells me when folks receive that gift, the heavens themselves rejoice and stand up. So when you give that kind of gift, everybody connected to God is rejoicing, because another one just got snatched from Satan's hands. Do what you want this Christmas. Put God to the side if you want. But if you really know who he is, reconsider what you're doing. And be more fruitful in your giving. And make sure your giving starts with Jesus Christ. Because he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And that's the kind of gift that I want to be known for giving. The doors of the church are open this morning. Yeah.